welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Good to see you all. Sort of. It's kind of bright up here. Well, I hope you had a great Christmas. I really do, but I'm not ignorant to maybe the fact that some of us didn't have a great Christmas. But anyway, I hope you had a great Christmas. I know that sometimes this season can be difficult for some people. And so, if this has been a difficult season, I'm glad you're here anyway. And I'm glad you're moving on. You're going onward and you're going forward. God always calls us to go forward, doesn't he? Throughout life, sometimes we go through good times and bad. And yet God is always calling us onward, 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 Christian soldiers. And God is calling us inward. He's calling us closer to him. Always, he's calling us closer and closer and closer to him. The older I get, the more close I want to get to the Lord. And he's calling us upward. We have an upward calling, the Bible says. Upward calling. What's that mean? That we want to have more and more of an eternal perspective each and every day. And the older we get, and the closer we get to the next life, I want you to have more and more and more of an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective. We're called onward. We're called inward, closer to God. And we're called upward as well. If you have your Bible, let's just raise it up right now. Let me tell you about the Bible. It's the living word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It directs our lives. It corrects us. It rebukes us at times. It teaches us. And so let's pray together, should we? Yes. Father God, we thank you for the word of God, the written word of God. Help us to understand it, God. Sometimes it's difficult to understand, but God, we just ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. And we thank you for your spoken word, for your Holy Spirit, and help us to understand and be more and more sensitive to your Spirit as you lead us. We thank you, and we ask your blessing on this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The children of God will be children that are led by the Spirit. So we're right at the end of a series called Stories of Christmas. And we've heard from Pastor Tom and some of his stories, and Pastor Ben and Pastor Beth and some of their stories, some of their fun stories, some of their funny stories. And I have tons of stories. In fact, I'm really more of a storyteller than I am a preacher. And so if you go out for coffee with me, you mostly know that I talk in stories a lot of times. And if you ask me a question, I might tell you a story. My life is a story, and your life is a story. And sometimes our stories are full of ups and downs, aren't they? Sometimes our stories are full of failure. And sometimes our stories are full of success and hardship. Sometimes our stories are filled with times when our character is transformed, and sometimes our stories, but everything, every little detail is part of our story. It's part of what makes us us. And it's part of who we're becoming as well. And I look back sometimes in my life and I see how God has woven something in my past into my future. Have you ever noticed that? How God has taken something from your past and that you thought was like worthless, and then now he's using it for good. And so that's what the stories of Christmas mean to me a little bit. Keep that in mind. So one of my favorite stories of Christmas was when we moved back to Sterling when I was in the third grade. We moved over to Magnolia Lane. We moved when I was in kindergarten to Denver to start a school for my brother who's handicapped. And we didn't find anything, so my mom and dad and a few other families got together. We moved back here, and we started a school of our own for the handicapped. And so that doesn't have anything to do with my message today. But when we moved to Magnolia Lane, it was interesting because I just found this out this year, that I think it was my mom who was a major organizer. I think she organized this deal. So she went around to all the people in the neighborhood, and there was the Gwenzies, and there was the Wagners, and there was the Gerritsons, and Dave Grease was on Magnolia Lane back then. And my mom got all the parents to buy us the same gift. It was an army set. It was on this little cardboard. I remember still to this day. It was like a green piece of cardboard and had all these things strapped to it, like a machine gun and a canteen and a belt and a plastic knife and two plastic hand grenades. And it was awesome. I loved it. And it was the day after Christmas, and the war began. After the gifts, and after the carols, and after the singing, and after eating Mom's fudge pudding and peanut butter fudge. My mom was famous for her peanut butter fudge. After the turkey, and after the cranberry sauce, and after peace on earth and goodwill towards men, the battle was on. All the whole Christmas vacation, the whole neighborhood was filled with a platoon of third and fourth graders, fully armed, in and out of everybody's neighborhood, scaring their dogs and their cats, and over the river and through the woods. I mean, we were all over NJC and everywhere. It was so fun. Every day, all day long. I remember that as just being really awesome. I have no idea how I'm going to tie that into a message, but it was a great story, right? Well, then I got to thinking, honestly, that sometimes our lives are like that. We have these really wonderful, magnificent series of events, Christmas, and then we get sideswiped, or the enemy just booby traps us. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what? Where did that come from? I remember times when my wife and I were away on anniversary trips, and it's like, we were having this romantic time. We were all together. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, this marriage isn't working. We're just like, what? Wasn't it just 5 minutes ago that, like, where did that come from? It's almost as if something opposes us. And we do have something that opposes us. And sometimes we're ignorant of that. And when I ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want the people to remember today about what I say? Is that don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. You have an enemy. He's been defeated at the cross, but he's still active. He still lies to you. He still steals from you. He still kills everything that God wants to do in your life. And don't be ignorant. Or another version of the Bible says, don't be stupid about the things of the enemy. Oh, this is going to be a lovely Christmas story. So let me talk about Joseph and Mary for a minute. They, too, had just finished experiencing this wonderful, miraculous series of events. First, the angel visits Mary and tells her and says, you're going to be pregnant, and the child will be called the Son of God, and his kingdom will have no end. Here's Mary, gets visited by an angel. Can you just really picture that for a second? And the angel says, you're going to get pregnant, and the child's going to be called the Son of God, and of his kingdom will never, ever ever come to an end. And then she does, supernaturally, gets pregnant. And then Joseph gets visited by an angel. And he too says to Joseph, says, Mary is going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit, another miraculous event, and the child shall save his people from their sins. And then, so they travel to Bethlehem. There's the star, there's the shining in the night, and then there's the shepherds and watching over their flocks by night, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And an angel appears. There's all these angels in this story. Clear back to John the Baptist and his dad. There's all these angels in this story. And an angel appears to these shepherds out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you've ever been out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night. Like when I used to go backpacking a lot, and I'd be like way out in the middle of nowhere. No lights at all to be seen anywhere. It's dark. And if the Lord and a host of heavenly angels was to show up and start singing to me, I was like, whoa, what was in my supper? I was like, that's awesome. And so here's this miraculous event. And I'm here, I think, of later when the shepherds were like maybe telling this story to Joseph and Mary, saying, man, we were out in the middle of nowhere. This heavenly host shows up, starts singing, praising God. And an angel of the Lord appears, and with him was a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill towards all men. Then there's the birth, another miraculous event that Joseph and Mary experienced. I don't know if you've ever experienced having children, but it's a miraculous event. It's just miraculous. And then there's this whole entourage of very wealthy and influential wise men that just kind of show up. They're kind of hanging out in the barn with Jesus. And all these rich guys show up on camels with all these gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it's like, holy smokes, where'd you guys come? And they're from the Far East or somewhere. It's a miraculous event. So all these things happened. And while Joseph and Mary were, I just pictured them just sitting there in the afterglow of all these events, thinking back what the Lord had done from the beginning until now. Possibly the very next day after the wise men leave, Mary and Joseph were divinely warned in a dream to get up right now and get out of there. And so they did. They were quick to obey. And here's a point for you and I. When we're in the midst of our battle and you feel the prompting of the Lord, get up and move on it right away. So here they are in the middle of the night in their barn, and they have a vision and it says, get up and move and go to Egypt. And I don't know if they've even ever been to Egypt or where they were going on their camel or their donkey or whatever it was. So I can just see where Joseph and Mary, they pack up all their gold and frankincense and myrrh on this donkey, and they put Jesus into his federally approved child seat, strapped it on the donkey, and took off. They were quick to obey. And after they were going, then another angel spoke to Joseph and said, take this child and his mother and go to Egypt and stay there until you hear word from me, for the Herod seeks this child to destroy him. Now what? We just went through all these miraculous events. The angel, the birth, the shepherds, the wise men, and now there's somebody who wants to kill this child? The day after Christmas, the first Christmas, and the war was on. And the war was on. And let me say to you this morning that the war is still on. And you should not be ignorant of the enemy and his schemes. Not just the enemy, but his schemes also. So this morning I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about that. Sometimes in this life I scratch my head and I say, why did that happen? Or what was God? Where was God in this? Or what's going on here? This doesn't seem like the abundant life I'm supposed to be living. And what is it that opposes my soul? And what is it that comes to wage war against my soul? It's, the Lord wants us to live an abundant life, but he wants you to know, don't be stupid. You're still in the midst of a war. Yes, he has abundant life for you. But don't forget that we live in the midst of a war this side of heaven. Okay? If you forget that piece, you'll be blindsided, I'm sure. In John chapter 10, verse 10, I want to read that if we can. Interesting about this verse. I like there's some theology here that I want to kind of uncover and dig out. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Jesus said, the reason he came is that you might have life. Jesus said, I want to say that again, the reason Jesus came is that you and I might have life. And if you dig that word out in the Greek, it means superabundant life. It means excessive, filled up, running over, over and above, more than enough, bountiful life. That's why Jesus came, that you might have it. But the interesting thing is, these two statements are right together. It's like he doesn't even pause when he's saying, however, don't be ignorant of the fact that the thief, the enemy of your soul, comes to steal all that stuff. He comes to steal that life. He comes to steal that abundant life, and to kill and to steal and destroy. Look at that. The thief comes only. And like that's his only deal, is he wants to come and rip you off. And we've got to keep that in mind. The only way to life, the only way to abundant life, is to understand who your enemy is and understand how to deal with that. So I want to kind of unpack that a little bit today. Okay? I believe there's three things that come to wage war against your soul. Say three.
Three.
Awesome. Let's say it again. Okay, we have three things that I believe come to wage war against your soul, and there will be a test. The one, your flesh, your old nature. When we become Christians, when we become born again, when we receive Christ, when we ask Jesus to come and live in our life, when we turn from our sins and ask God to be our Lord and Savior, we receive a new nature. It's done deal. We receive a new nature. We now have a new nature. But sometimes we feed the old nature still. When we're feeding the old nature, there's a conflict. Because now you have a new nature, and you're still feeding the old nature. The flesh, number one, it's our old fallen nature. The deeds of the flesh are this: impurity, idolatry. Anytime we put anything ahead of God, that's considered idolatry. Anytime we put anything ahead of the Lord, it's idolatry. And that will wage war against our soul and prevent us from having an abundant, thriving life that God intends for us to have. Okay? Two, the world. The flesh, the world. Number two, the world, its systems, the way the world operates, is alienated and opposed to God. Have you ever noticed that things out there aren't really lined up with the ways of God? It's the world and all of its system and the way it thinks and the way it encourages you is all wages war against your soul. It wages war against your soul. It prevents you from becoming, from having abundant life. And three, the enemy himself. Okay? Don't be ignorant of the enemy or his schemes. I've met people who thought, well, they act like the devil doesn't exist. And let me say this, if you're in that state of mind, the only thing you got to do when you come across a problem is to blame each other or to blame someone else. And some people sometimes are to blame, but a lot of times, the enemy is right there in the midst of all that working together. Your flesh, the world, and the devil himself all work hand in hand. And if you're ignorant to that fact, it's going to cause you a lot of problems. It's going to cause you it's going to keep you from the abundant life that God intends for you. Okay? Let me talk about the devil himself just for a second. Oh, this is a wonderful Christmas message. My message to you this morning is don't be ignorant of the things of God, of the things of the enemy. That's the only thing I want you to get today. If I ask you tomorrow, next week, hey, what was my message about? That's what it is. Don't be ignorant of the enemy. Let me talk about him just for a minute. This Bible is a book about God. It's not a book about the enemy. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that the enemy's forces are real. They're legitimate. They're evil. They're dark. They're deceitful. They're full of lies. When the enemy comes in like a flood, have you ever heard that? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. That's the verse. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and what does the flood look like? What does the flood look like? The flood looks like this. There's no way out. Life is hopeless. I can't see any way out of this. That's the flood. Because we know that's a lie. Many of us at times have been to a point where it's like, there's no way out. Have you ever been to that point? Raise your hand if you've been to that point. There's no way out. This is hopeless. This is a hopeless situation. I'm just giving up. I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to flip out. Whatever. That's a lie. That's the enemy. That's a flood. And God is who you need to run to. God is who you need to run to. He's the way out. He's made a way of escape. Let me say this about the enemy himself. Or let me say this. Keep in mind that God reigns even over the enemy. God reigns even over the enemy. And lastly, that the enemy we face is already defeated. He's defeated at the cross. Okay? Don't forget those things. Don't be ignorant of the things of the enemy. Okay, I want to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to kind of flesh out a few things out of that text as well. Okay, let's put that up on the screen, should we? Okay. As we read through this, I want you to keep in mind that I want you to think of past tense, okay? Past tense things. As for you, you were. Past tense. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, past tense, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of God's great love, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive. Present tense. God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So let's back up and just kind of dissect that a little bit. When you followed the ways of this world, I'm telling you, are an enemy of your soul. The Spirit of God should be leading us away from, even countercultural, upstream, against the ways of this world. So think of something. The ways of this world are selfish, self-centered. The Christians should not be that way. The ways of the world are very materialistic, and I mean, that is their hope, that they'll have tons of money, and I mean, that's where their hope is. Our hope should be in Jesus instead. The ways of this world wage war against your soul. Also, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. The cravings of our flesh have to be put in subjection to God, or else we will not be able to live in the abundant life that He has for us. Amen? We don't get to abundant life without a war. We don't get to abundant life without understanding who our enemy is. The flesh, our old nature, the world, and its ways, its philosophy, the way it thinks and the way it's going. And number three, the enemy himself, who at times comes in like a flood. Okay? One, two, three. So then, how do we deal with that? I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about this section of Scripture is talking about what's called the armor of God. Verse 10, finally, so that means my message, finally, I'm going to start winding down now here a little bit. So finally, can I say this to you today? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So that you can take your stand. How do you do it? First of all, understand your enemy. And what is the three major things that wage war against our soul? Our flesh, the world, and the enemy himself. And so finally, so now what do I do that? Get your armor on each and every day. Okay? And we're going to talk about that here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when those days come, when the battle comes, you'll be ready, because you've got your armor on. And what is your armor? Standing firm, then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, sometimes when we add little picture things to that, it helps us to understand, and sometimes it confuses us. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. It always confused my kids, because one year I bought them all these plastic helmets and stuff because I wanted to teach them about the armor of God, and all they did was beat each other up. Interesting. What homeschool kids? No, never. Truth is part of our armor. Say this with me. Truth is part of our armor. When the enemy of your soul comes to steal and kill and destroy and deceive you and lie to you about who you are, about your identity mostly, he comes to say, well, you're not acting like a Christian. Or what about this? And what about that? You know, does the enemy ever bring lies and whisper in your ear? Maybe you don't recognize. Maybe you think that's you talking to yourself, and it could be. But a lot of times the enemy's right there egging it on. Truth is part of our armor. Who are you? And who are you in Christ? You're seated at the right hand of God. You're seated in heavenly places. You've been forgiven. You've been given salvation. You've been received. You've been received Christ's righteousness, and yet the enemy comes and just lies to you. And so you've got to be not ignorant of his voice so we can walk in abundance. Truth is part of the armor of God. The truth of God, not the truth of man. Man is still trying to figure out truth without God. Remember Herod when he said to Jesus, well, what is truth? You know, I get that question because I studied philosophy in college at a state college. It's like, well, what is truth? I don't know. But go fold your legs and sit in the corner and try to figure it out. That's not it. The truth of God is what I'm talking about this morning. The world is still trying to figure it out, and Jesus said himself, I am the truth. I will bring truth. I come in the fullness of grace and truth. It's Jesus who holds the key to all truth. Let's get in his ways, not the world's ways. Let's submit our flesh to him and to bring all of our thoughts into subjection to Him, then abundant life is on the other side of that piece. Salvation is part of our armor. Salvation is part of our armor. Have you ever had this little voice come to you and say, well, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you don't act like those people down at the church, you got so much baggage, blah, blah, blah. I've been there, done that, many, many years. I had more baggage than anybody that's ever walked in this church, I think. I don't know all your stories, but I had a lot of baggage coming into the kingdom of God. And so the enemy lies to you. Well, you don't really look like those church folk. Salvation is a free gift. And you receive it, you receive it. That's part of the army of God. And you got to know it. And sometimes you even got to speak it out to the enemy himself. Just kind of like call him out, cast him out. He comes to lie to you. Readiness of the gospel, what is that about? It's the shoes, it's another part of the armor. I believe that we're to be intentional about taking our light, the gift, the light on Christmas Eve. How many were here on Christmas Eve? We talked about Jesus being the light of the world. We take that light into the darkness. We're intentional about being evangelistic, about taking the gospel out there. It's part of the armor of God. We're not defensive. We don't just sit back and try to block all the enemy's darts. We are intentional. We're moving forward. We're on the offensive. I played football in Sterling. And the times I got hurt the most, when I was just kind of standing around, and some senior decided to plow me. You know, the whistle hadn't quite blown yet, and you're just kind of sitting there, and it's like, oh, well, I think the play's over, and here comes somebody just takes a cheap shot and knocks you off. See, when we're not on the offensive, oftentimes that's when we get beat up in the spirit realm as well, okay? That's why the shoes of the gospel of peace are part of our armor. We got to move. Onward, Christian soldiers. Pick it up. Move onward, onward, onward. That's part of the armor of God. Our righteousness. What is that? That's a great big word. Righteousness just means that we've been made right with God. We receive God's righteousness. God is righteous. And sometimes we don't act righteous, but God has given us His righteousness. It's like a breastplate. It protects all of our vital organs. When we know in our hearts that God has made us right with Him, we're on His team now. Amen? We're on the winning team. It's part of our armor. Just the understanding of our own righteousness. And faith, of course, is a shield that we raise up. The Word of God is the sword. It talks about the Word of God being a sword, part of our armor. That's why we're so intentional about discipleship in this church, is because we want people to learn the Word of God. Because what happens when they learn the Word of God, they begin to understand that their position in Christ, what they've been given and where they've been seated and who they are and their identity, so that when the enemy comes and lies to us, and he is the father of all lies, that's one of the titles of Satan himself, that we will say, no, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says about me, who I am. That's part of our armor. Okay? So, are three things that really wage war against us: our flesh, the world, and the enemy himself. And how do we deal with that? We arm ourselves with the things that God has told us to arm ourselves with. Okay? I hope that'll help you to walk into more of a fullness, more into more of an abundant life, thriving life. I really hope that for you. I want to see thriving life. I love to see people that are thriving and just really grasping the things of God and walking into that thriving life. It's good for me. It's good for the people around you. It's good for the body of Christ as a whole. Okay, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up at this time. There's an old Christian hymn. Stand, would you, with me? There's an old Christian hymn that says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." That's a great song. Can we just pray? Let's bow our heads. God, we just... sometimes we are ignorant to the enemy's schemes. Help us, Lord, just to know that he's already been defeated. We keep our eyes on you, not on him. We keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and we ask you to lead us to victory and lead us out of the stuff we're in at times. We thank you that you are our protector and that you are a warrior. We thank you for that, God. We look to you. We look to you, Jesus. I just pray, God, that you would just use this message somewhere in somebody's life just to transform them to more of a victorious Christian. We wouldn't just wander through life, just drift down the stream, but that we'd be intentional. We understand that you love us and that the battle's already finished, but that we need to be alert. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've got a few... action steps I want you to do this week. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Will you really do that? Will you really press into these action steps? I want you to read also Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. And here's one for you. I want you to memorize the Word of God. I want you to begin to memorize. Many of you are already doing that. But I want you to take it to memory. When we memorize the Word of God, we internalize it. We take it in. And then later, when we need it, the Holy Spirit reminds us and brings it out. This is what Ephesians chapter 3 says. Forgetting what lays behind, I press on. I strain toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you guys and have a great week.